the deliverance came, was it not mighty? And so sometimes on time frames and things that we wonder why, he knows all those things. Could you turn me down just a little? I feel like I've got some feedback that could all of a sudden just scream, you know. And so why those things in the time frame that we like, Lord, this is enough. And so, but knowing that he sees everything, there's nothing that that happens that he's not aware of. As an example, why 430 years of Israel being under the bondage is an example. Why so many years of the Middle East world being under that cloak of that lying demonic foe of Islam? Why so long? Why so many hundreds of years that it's been like that? Which it almost seems like it hasn't even been, the Spirit of God hasn't in many cases come against that. But now we see it all of a sudden, people by the hundreds and by the thousands in a dark, dark country or area of the world coming to Jesus Christ. We don't know his timing of things, but we do trust him. We do our best. Like we, you know the saying, if I knew the world was ending tomorrow, I'd plant a tree today, right? And so continue to allow the Holy Spirit to bring you joy. And it'd be just like this. I know that Paul, when he in Philippians, and he say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, is writing that from a deep, dark dungeon. A deep, dark dungeon. And he's writing that. And so, Lord, let us have eyes and ears and your heart. Not only for the elections and the integrity of this nation, but number one, think eternally for all the souls. For all the souls, even for Biden to be saved. Yes. I mean, I'm serious. I have to look at it as, would God want him saved? Do I fight everything he stands for? Yeah, but I want God's heart to say, man, wouldn't that be nice if somebody in a position of power like a Paul, who is totally hating Christians, the Christians feared him, but gets suddenly born again and puts the world upside down. Well, we need some people like that in this nation. It could be some of the people, if we're not careful, that we hate with all our hearts. Can I be truthful? Could be come to the Lord. Remember, who was the guy who was on that? I forget his name. He's in prayer, and God says, go pray for Saul. He's on straight street. And he says, are you kidding me? That guy is here to do us great harm. And what did God say to him? He says, he's my chosen instrument to not only Israel, but all the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? So, Lord, we thank you that you do things much different than what we think or time frames. But nevertheless, is the Lord in charge? Amen? I say that to understand that we need to be encouraged in that, right? I'm encouraged that I know the Lord. I'm encouraged that where I was, I'm no longer there. Hallelujah. There's many people in darkness, but I thank God I'm not. And I thank God that my family, those that are struggling or in darkness, I thank God that they will not remain there. I don't know when. I don't know how. Once again, Mr. Taylor, I don't know the timing, but I know those things are going to change. And my heart, it says, well, how long? Why is it taking so long? Where are you, God? But yet him who works outside of time, who... when we spend eternity with him, look at in a million years from now, this little blip called our life on a scale is going to look like a speck. And so even in that time, it's really not that long. So we continue to trust and pray for this great nation, amen, for this election, for people that we love, hallelujah, as you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in his joy and strength as peace. I don't care what's going on out here. I care. But the number one thing is, God, thank you for peace in my home in Jesus' name. One home at a time. Amen. Amen and amen. Guess what? We're on session something. 35. The book of John, right? Boy, after 3 weeks, that water still tastes good. Whew. John, it's definitely getting a flavor. Yeah, and that plastic bottle for 3 weeks, though, right here. That's a different story, Marcus. Amen. We're on John chapter 5. You know, we've been on one or two verses. I think this is going on maybe our third or fourth week, and we're not going to get past it today either. So we've been camped out a little bit. If you remember, we've been camped out on, let me read John 5:19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, right? We go back, they were persecuting Jesus at this time because he's doing miracles on of all things on the Sabbath. And he was saying he claimed to be equal with God. And so they're very upset with Jesus and basically want to get rid of him. But therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. And so we were talking about, as we've been going through this, you know, laboring through this, I don't know if labors are right, but just going little by little about Jesus on this earth, the power and the wisdom that he operated in is the same power and wisdom that you and I can operate in. Now, I know it says that he was given the Spirit without what measure, right? But nevertheless, I put out some scriptures of what Jesus did. Remember, it said that in Hebrews, is it chapter 4 or 5, it says he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Well, you look at that, and we know Jesus was perfect. How many sins did Jesus ever commit? None, but with the power of the Holy Spirit in him, he didn't avoid any confrontation with the enemy. Matter of fact, he was always looking to bump into the enemy. And he was bumping into the spirit, the God of this world in many different ways. The religious spirit, number one, that he was bumping into, right? And so he was looking to conquer the enemy. So we talked about how that he suffered in every way imaginable. He was rejected by his own brothers. Even his mother saying, it's time for you. I gave birth to you. I know the miracle of the birth I gave to you. And it's 30 years. I'm about waiting around, Mr. Taylor. 30 years, his mother finally says, it's time. And what did he say? It's not time. And she went forward like he didn't even say anything. They said, she says, do whatever he tells you to. So he didn't start his ministry at 20 years old or 15 years old or 25 years old. But for some reason, God had him wait till he was 30 years of age. And finally, his mom says, look, I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting around to see your ministry start. Isn't that amazing? The Son of God. And his mother, going back to John chapter, was it 2 or 3, saying, yeah, it is time, son. Whatever he says to do, do it. And so we understand that his operating in this world, Jesus, was not any different, really. And we'll have some more scriptures than how you and I are to operate in this world. Do you believe that? Let me show. Remember the first thing, I won't belabor, I don't think, too long, but how did he operate? Remember, he said that he says, I do what I see my Father doing. And we thought, okay, I used to have this mindset. Well, he has some special. Nobody has. Yes, Lord. He did know the thoughts of every man. And I'm not making fun of anything. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying we'll look at some scriptures. He did not do anything differently in his hearing and seeing God than you and I today. See, he was supreme example. And when it says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, well, he was already perfect. What it was is he overcame every obstacle, every demon in hell, every religious spirit, and was absolutely, he batted 1,000. And then when he finally whipped everything and faced everything that you could imagine a life, God says, now it's time for you to give your life. See, when it says he learned obedience, everything he faced, he said, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust the power of the Holy Spirit working through me as I'm completely, completely rejected by mankind. As I'm walking even with disciples, one of them is going to betray me. As I'm walking with disciples who really, even while I'm walking on the earth with them, don't understand my purpose. So very few people. So he didn't have a place to sleep. He was running sometimes from town to town as he would preach the gospel. He knew he couldn't go to his hometown very often because what? They rejected him. They scoffed him. They said, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph and Mary? Didn't we grow up with him? Didn't we know him? As even his hometown would totally scoff him, and he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Don't you realize that it must have had to hurt his heart that they would reject him? Not only as God, but even as a human being, as a man, they scoffed at him and said, do what you did in Jerusalem. We want to see this one trick pony. We want to see what you can do. Had nothing to do with accepting him, his mission and his purpose in God. It was about just seeing him do no different than what would be magic tricks. And see, we said the Holy Spirit, number one, is the key to what I'm going to talk about, points B and C. So he's a person, not an experience. The Holy Spirit, right? Remember, he's a person, not an experience, but yet the Holy Spirit wants us to experience many things through him in our lifetime. Did you know that? Yeah. The just shall live by faith, but yet the Spirit is our conduit to what? Well, the Word becoming life, the Word becoming revelation. The Lord wants his Word to, wants the Word of God to jump off the pages, even if it's just one verse, and be life to our spirit man. He does not want us to look at the Word and say, what can I just apply to my life to make myself more better? No, he wants us to look at the Word of God and say, I've got a revelation, or I'm learning a little bit more about who Jesus is. It's never about looking at a few scriptures and saying, how can I apply this to my life? Because that will never, never work. That's what the law does. How can I apply these things to my life? No, the Word of God, Jesus became flesh because he was the Word. So his desire is when we read the Word, that it would become life. And we get to experience the life of Jesus through the Word of God. See, the letter killeth, but the Spirit brings life. So when we read the Word of God, it's not just reading a letter trying to apply something, but it becomes something that's supposed to jump off and leap in our spirit and say, ah, I did not see that before. Thank you for revealing that to me, Lord Jesus. Whether it be wisdom for our life or Jesus just sharing a little bit about his heart and who he is and his purpose on the world, which then becomes our purpose. Hallelujah. The Word becomes life. It becomes revelation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can be an intense experience. So infilling of the fire, the baptism, I mean, whatever it is, but the Holy Spirit is also, we live by faith, but the Holy Spirit is to be experienced in our life. Not just dryness, not just doing things on our own strength, not just trying to line up, but the Holy Spirit to be like a river living water flowing through us, bringing life. The just shall live by faith. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. But I know the Holy Spirit wants to do more than just reside in us and just kind of shh, right? No, the Holy Spirit wants to, he wants us to experience his joy, his love, his peace, bubbling up with his joy, bubbling up with his peace, with his strength. The Holy Spirit, we are saved by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit. But God wants us to experience things in him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Examples. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, it brings the Word to life. Amen? We experience different things. That the Spirit of God is a conduit for the Word becoming life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The giftings of the Holy Spirit. How about visions and dreams? Amen? The Holy Spirit can give us visions and dreams. Do you believe that? Amen? Your young men shall see dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. Do I got that right? Or do I, one of those. So at the least, I should be dreaming dreams. So the Lord has given, you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a pastor. But the Lord desires to even give us dreams and visions. Did you know that's very godly? That's not strange. Or it shouldn't be strange. Yeah, even what Peter says, that a fresh anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, the Holy Spirit will allow people to experience God in a way you could not in the old covenant. Dreams and visions. It's like this, it's saying, Lord, I'm open to any visions or dreams that you want to give me. Lord, any visions or dreams that you want to give me in this day, in this hour. Lord, I'm open to that. I want everything that you have for me. I don't want to get buckled down or tied down to a form of religion and just be happy to hear Pastor Lee or Pastor Chad or Pastor Lee or whoever hear a message, and that is the extent of my experience in the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with pastors, teachers, but God wants you to experience Him yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can be an intense experience, but when my wife will tell you, when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 9, it was like electricity going through her body. But for me, when I began to speak in tongues, it was simply, I was washing windows, and I opened my mouth and just started speaking in tongues by faith. And I kept doing it by faith. And when the devil says, no, that's just you gibbering, I just kept doing it by faith. And when the devil says, no, that's just you, I said, I just kept doing it by faith. And then pretty soon, there came a day where all of a sudden it just rushed like a river. And I said, devil, that wasn't just me gibbering. By faith. It even says, where Paul says, let him prophesy according to his faith. So our act as far as walking or experiencing the Holy Spirit, it starts with faith, saying, Lord, I know that you have more for me to experience in you. I don't know about you, but the thought of experiencing more in God, Him revealing Himself more through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through dreams and visions, I think we're living in a day and hour we need to see that more than ever. I think we're living in a day and hour where we need to see that afresh and anew. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. So many different supernatural experiences that the Holy Spirit can release in our lives. I couldn't even start to cover a topic of different things that God does. I always remember years ago, I was watching the Bill O'Reilly show. You remember when he was popular? And he wasn't there. There was somebody else that was doing his show. And they had two Iranian girls there who had been in prison. So they had been imprisoned. I forgot the length of time, but it was no fun, I can tell you that. And right on national TV, this gentleman said, how did you endure? And the girl said, we spoke in tongues. And 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 we spoke in tongues. He says, until it felt like heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Then they said that that jail cell was nothing like, it was not like being in jail. The power of the Holy Spirit to endure. How could Paul say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, when his flesh is in a deep, dark dungeon? He's shackled. I don't know how often they're feeding him. I don't know how cold or hot it was. I don't know the bugs. I don't know how he was treated. I don't know how long he was there, but I know that the Holy Spirit supernaturally was writing a book through him. Number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit was saying, rejoice, Paul, rejoice in me. Amen? Is that okay to say that? Does that make sense? I am telling you, for us, this day and hour, that is what we need. Amen? And so Jesus experienced God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then I briefly, a couple weeks ago, also said the Word of God. You remember I read from Luke chapter 4, it says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Remember he got it, he read that, he had the scroll open and he read it, it was talking about him, and he said, today this has been fulfilled in your midst. And we had talked about it somewhere along his life as he was reading the Word of God, as he was reading the Bible, his father said, this is talking about you. And it's no different than when we read the Word of God and God encourages us, the Holy Spirit touches us on the shoulder and says, what you're reading right there is talking about you. It is no different than how he talked to Jesus. The Holy Spirit through the Word of God saying, this is you, Bucko, or Buckette. This is you. I'm talking to you. Are you listening? The Word of God has that type of ability and power in our life. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times, that's the Old Testament, right? Was written for instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And that's what Jesus did too. That's what Jesus did as well. He would read those scriptures. He had to endure. Didn't he have to endure until he was on the cross? We talked about everything that he endured in his life before he ever even went to the cross. So what he endured. And so he says, through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures. Instruction and encouragement of the scriptures. It can't be encouragement to you unless it's brought to life by the Holy Spirit. When it's brought to life by the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that can encourage you and I like the scriptures. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. We live in a day and age to we need to be encouraged more than ever before. Hallelujah. Don't you agree? Amen. Amen and amen. And then Matthew 4. How do we know how did you know these scriptures here? But I'm going to talk about them. Matthew 4, it is written. So how did Jesus use the scriptures? How did he resist Satan? We know from Matthew 4, verse 4, but it says, but he answered and said, it is written, this is Jesus, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. So what was he doing? He says, I am living by the word of God. But that he was there, but now that being in flesh and in the form of a man, this word would be becoming life to him as he was battling the enemy with the word. Notice he didn't just say, in the name of my Father and my name, get out of here. Could he have done that? Yeah. I suppose he did, but he didn't do it that way, did he, Mark? No. He did not. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then he tempts him again, and Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test. Who said that? Jesus. Verse 10, then it says, then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Sometimes the power of just rebuking Satan is enough, but have you ever been in other times where you have to endure? Yeah. Where just rebuking is not enough for some reason. You got to stand upon his word. Hallelujah. You got to use the word to battle him. And you resist the devil, submit therefore to God and resist the devil. Sometimes we read the scripture like that and we think it's 5 minutes. What if it's 5 days? Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, not giving up, not giving in, but the word of God. So what did Jesus do? Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit. Also, Jesus learned who he was by also reading the scriptures and saying, this here is talking about me. And then he was using the word of God to battle Satan. So the Holy Spirit and the word of God. So what's the third way that, just like us today, you and I, Jesus, what method was he using to communicate with God? Well, it was prayer, right? Did Jesus pray? Yeah, absolutely. He prayed a lot. Luke 6, 12 through 16. This is good stuff. It says, now it was at this time that he, this is Jesus, went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer with God. Wow. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named the apostles. And it's Simon, who he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He spent time with prayer, and after spending time with prayer, he came and did what? He says, these are the 12 disciples. I'm picking you 12. He did that after spending time in prayer. Did you notice that? Jesus spent time in prayer. We know that he spent time in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He was praying. We talked about that with great earnestness, with crying, with tears to God. If there's any way this could pass for me. But nevertheless, he said, not my will, but your will be done. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. Amen. Jesus fought the enemy and learned of himself through the word of God, and he spent time in prayer. Did you know it's no different for you and I today? Did you know it's no different for you and I today? So let that be an encouragement. Thessalonians 1:11 says this, just a few scriptures. To this end, we always pray for you. This was Paul he's talking to. He says, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. Power, by his power, amen. So the power of prayer, amen. If everything was just let it be, whatever God wants, whatever will be, then why pray, amen? The power of our prayer, saints. I know one thing that's coming again to the church because it's biblical and it's always been the case, is a praying church and having results by the power of our prayer. Hallelujah. The power of prayer. Let me just switch a gear here. All of this was predicated in love. For the Father loves, verse 20 says, for the Father loves, John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will be amazed. Amen. And then what did John, later on we'll read in John chapter 14, Jesus uses the same words for his disciples. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to my Father. So he says, I'm doing greater works because of my Father. And then Jesus turns around to his disciples and says, the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do. Amen and amen. I am not amazed that we will do works. What I'm amazed about is how much he loves you and I. I really am. Galatians 3, 24 through 26, I got to get through a few scriptures here. Therefore, the law has become our guardian to lead us to what? To Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Amen? For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Sons and daughters. For the Father loves the Son. Remember, that's what Jesus said. So how much does he love us? Why does he love us? Right? You think of, why does he love us? A few scriptures here. We are made in God's image and likeness. Did you know you're made in God's image and likeness? And in case I want to say this out, let me ask you a question. Does God love you as much as he loves Jesus? Think about it. Does God love you as much as he loves Jesus? Did you know he does? He gave his only begotten Son. That, for God so loved the world. It's amazing to me, fallen mankind, all the crazy things that a person can do in his life, but yet God loves us with the same deep love that he loves his Son. Isn't that amazing? You know, if we realize that, and maybe some of you do, if we realize that and understood how much he loved us, what would it be like in our lives? How much less would there be struggles? Struggles on our behavioral struggles. How many things of those behavioral struggles would actually dissipate and disappear if we knew how much he loved us? If we knew that we didn't have to prove our love to him at all, if we didn't have to earn our love at all, if we didn't have to be on some kind of scale of, God, you love me this much because I've done these things, or this much, or trying to obtain certain things, if we realized how much he loves us, I am telling you, we would walk in absolute peace and joy and calmness. We would be like this, saying everything's going to be okay. No matter what came against us, we would be at perfect rest and peace if we simply knew how much he loved us. It'd be like Jesus, who said Jesus' maturity came that although he faced all the things that he faced while he walked on this earth, he had to believe in faith that his Father loved him above anything else on this world, anything that he created. He knew that his Father loved him. And though the enemy came against him, even though he had to operate through the Holy Spirit, operate through the Word, operate through the power, that you know Jesus had to believe that my Father loves me. Every day, every hour, that Satan was trying to disprove, trying to prove to Jesus, no, you're not who you say you are. No, your Father is not who you say you are. Just coming against him constantly, he had to be rooted and grounded in what? His Father's love for him. It is no different for you and I, Lord, brothers and sisters, that we be rooted and grounded when he says, the Father loves me. we can say that no matter what we face, we can say, the Father loves me. Can you say that today? The Father loves me. So we're made in God's image and likeness of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his what? His own image. And the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And so the image in the Hebrew is just it says a representative figure, resemblance, made in God's image. And made just God on the throne. Now the Holy Spirit, I don't know the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what he looks like. I know he can be everywhere at once. So I don't get that, do you? Right now, the Holy Spirit being here, he's on the other side of the planet, the same Holy Spirit. At the same time, able to carry on millions of conversations at one time without even batting an eye. I don't know what the Holy Spirit looks like, but I know he's a person. I know he's an individual, but I have no idea what the Holy Spirit looks like. I just know he's one big, awesome God. See, Genesis 5 and 3 says this, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Well, that's what God had just said about Adam. So that tells me that God has hands. He has feet. He can smile. We can look at other scriptures that were made in his image, right? He made us to... Why does he love us so much? He took this dust and he breathed on it and it came to life. Isn't that amazing that he did that? See, there is no ordinary people. We were all made in the image of God. Did you know that? The person living on the streets was made in God's image. The person who lives in a palace made in God's image. Everybody was made in God's image. I like a quote from C.S. Lewis that appeared in the book, The Weight of Glory. There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. The people you see every day, even the ones to whom you give little regard, are ones that are going to live forever either under salvation or judgment. That's the truth, saints. That has not changed. Even the most obscure person is not ordinary in God's eyes. In light of this truth, how do we affirm the dignity of people around us, all made in God's image? See, we look like him physically. Exodus 33, 21 through 23, as I move quickly. Exodus 33, 21 through 23 says, then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. He's talking to Moses, God. And he says, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will make my hand, I will take my hand away and you'll see my back, but my face you shall not see. Amen. So God has an image too. We are made in the image of God. Why does he love us so much? We're made in his image. We look like him. And then we will look like him in the future. 1 John 3, 1 through 2 says, see how great a love the Father has given us. Wow, how great a love the Father has given us. Amen, that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. We are children of God, amen? For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is, amen? We're going to be like him. Even Paul says, John here, the Apostle John says, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know we're going to look like him. We are made in his image and flesh now, and we're going to be like his in his image and spirit when we see him again. Amen. Let me, a couple more scriptures. Revelation 1, 13 through 16. What can Jesus possibly maybe look like right now? We know that John the Revelator, he saw Jesus when he was on earth, and then he saw Jesus in his glory. And in the middle of this lampstand, I saw one like a son of man, talking about Jesus, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and wrapped around the chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been heated to a glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Sounds like a superhuman to me. Spirit, amen? That sounds like a superhuman to me. Feet and bronze shining feet, hair, eyes like fire, a voice, a sword coming out of his mouth. That's Jesus in his glory. So he looks like us, but in a glorified body. Hallelujah. Why does God love us so much? We're made in his image. Image versus likeness. Can I say this real quick? Give me a few more minutes. Image versus likeness. You've heard that saying, you're a spitting image of your father. Or you act like your father or your mother, whoever. You act like your father. You act like likeness. So in appearance or character of God. James 3:9 said this, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. We could preach on that, but we're not here for that. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. Likeness means character or likeness, or in the character or truth of God. See, what is God's character or personality like? You ever thought of that? What do you think of God's personality? Do you see him on his throne just like... Just think of in your mind what you think his character's like. You got a picture in your mind? You know, you get little pictures from the scriptures. This is Zephaniah 3:17, the Amplified Version. The Lord your God is in your midst. Is he in our midst? The Lord your God is in your midst. A warrior who saves. So he's a warrior. Amen. Aren't you glad our God is a warrior? You don't want to mess with our God. He just has to dispatch angels. He doesn't even have to do anything. A warrior who saves. So our God is a warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rejoice over you with joy. Think of Sunday being joyful. Do you realize our God has a character of joy? Did you know that we're made in his likeness and he wants us to have a character of joy? See, we're not only made in his image. He also, through the Holy Spirit, give every quality that he has in himself, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Against such there's no law. That's the likeness of God. See, we're made in his image, and through the Holy Spirit being born again, he wants us to walk in his likeness. Amen, in his likeness. The Spirit of God, let me read a little bit more. It says, he will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. So does he have a quiet side? He will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. Wow. Man, we could all use that sometimes, huh? Having no record of wrong. Is it not hard to not have a record of wrong? If you're married, you know that heart. Don't lie to me. Don't even pretend. But it says he will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. He's doing that right now. That's the character of our God. Then it says he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Could you imagine our God? Shouts of joy. See, we all have different personalities. We all have a little bit of his likeness in us. Some of us are quiet. Some of us are more boisterous. Some of us, just all the different personalities, right? All of those personalities encompass who God is. That is his likeness. We're made in his image, and by the Holy Spirit being regenerated, by the Holy Spirit being born again, he says, I want you to walk in my likeness. You look like me on the outside, but I want you to look like me on the inside. That's why you're made in my likeness. Well, how much does he love us? He gave us his spirit that we could be in his likeness. We're made in his image. He loves us with the same passionate love that he loved Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would remember, that we would realize that. Lord, you give us a revelation of your love. So it's so easy, Father, to just have an understanding by how we were raised or our experiences. what's happened to us or what we've done to others, but Lord, that those things be washed away by the blood, and that your Holy Spirit would reveal and start just pouring in your likeness of who we are. Oh, how you love us. Lord, we thank you for removing amongst us, Lord, anybody with a spirit of rejection, Lord, that you would break that off their lives and realize that no matter what they're struggling with, by faith, that they'd realize how much you love them. Oh, how he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his most prized possession in heaven, so that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we just ask for just a baptism of love in our lives to overcome everything in our soul, man, that would just fight against that or that would beat up on us. But Lord, that you would baptize us in our love. Lord, we thank you for your love. Can you stand up for me a second? Lord, we thank you for your love. Can you just take one? We're going to dismiss. Can you just, if you're willing and able, lift up your hand and say, Lord, I receive your love. I receive your love. Lord, give me a revelation of your love for me. Because if I have a revelation of your love, I can have a heart that others would experience that same thing. And so we thank you and we love you for that tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we're not only made in your image, but we're made in your likeness. And we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.